Welcome to Harnessing the Power of ESG, the KPMG podcast series focused on the intersection of tax and ESG. At KPMG, we understand the power of ESG to transform business. I'm your host, Anu Varadarajan, from the KPMG Tax ESG team. In this podcast series, with commentary and real-world examples from subject matter leaders, we will explore the critical role of tax in a company's overall ESG strategy. Today, we are discussing workforce mobility and how ESG is fundamentally changing organizations' policies, procedures, and considerations around their people. Joining me are Neeta Patel, partner, and Robert Smith, senior manager from our Global Mobility Services. Neeta, Robert, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
For global organizations, mobility is on the front end of conversations about ESG, and companies are rethinking the ways that they have traditionally handled mobility practices and programs. So, Neeta, let me start with you. Can you set us up with some insights on what's driving these changes?
Absolutely. So, I think generally speaking, we have been at an inflection point for a few years now due to a confluence of events, the COVID-19 pandemic, the drive towards social justice, as well as the larger global movement in ESG. Organizations and individuals are self-reflecting and reassessing their roles. So for organizations, it's how do they become a better corporate citizen and become more engaged within the communities in which they operate? And for individuals, it's more of a self-reflection and a reassessment regarding working for an organization, working with an organization that fundamentally aligns with their values, but also an organization that can provide them with opportunities for growth and development. And I think mobility is definitely one such area. There's been this increased focus on ESG and DE&I coming from the top of the organization as part of the C-suite agenda. And it's making sure that mobility is then aligned with the business's broader business strategy. In my experience, mobility is really involved in all areas of ESG. I will say from a policy and procedures perspective, companies have not historically reviewed and benchmarked their policies as well as their procedures at any sort of cadence. It's moving from a purely operational role to a more strategic role. So it's not just packing up an employee, their family, and moving them from country A to country B for a set number of years. Organizations need to be looking at new ways, more flexible ways in how they grow and develop their employees. And mobility is a very important part of that.
Thank you, Neeta, for that overview. Now, you mentioned something about policies and procedures, and I want to pick up on that. Initially, companies would have had HR policies and put some mobility parameters towards that. But it seems to me that now there's a lot more impact for those policies and procedures. So, Robert, could you walk us through how often policies and procedures are being reviewed by companies, how often they should be reviewed? What are some best practices?
Sure, Anu. And I think to do so, one of the things that it's important for us to understand really is not only the cadence at which you would review a policy, but also some of the risks that are inherently there if a company doesn't review these policies. We're seeing, of course, companies that are really looking at social change and their impact. And then we also are seeing that employees want to align themselves with companies that they believe fundamentally share their values. And this really comes down to doing an annualized or a biannual review of policies to make sure that as social change and corporate change happens, that it's reflected in global mobility. One of the places that we see the most impact is really within the S pillar of ESG. And the reason for this is that it really emphasizes diversity, equity, and inclusion around the employee population. And this gets into non-traditional assignment types. So one of the first things that companies need to look at when they're doing a policy review is that they have to reevaluate how opportunities are actually being provided to their employees. That means looking at differences in gender, looking at differences in ethnicity, and also looking at differences that are a bit more hidden within your employee population. That means doing a reevaluation of your data every time you want to go and look at changes to policy. And if we're not continually reviewing the policies to make sure that we have diversity in mind, we're going to see a lack of that diversity initially and then over time show up in those leadership opportunities. Even for individuals who are not moving up a leadership pipeline, we want to make sure that the policies and processes are designed to provide that same equity and kind of parity across the employee group. We're also seeing an emergence of global mobility earlier in employment processes as a recruiting tool. So it's important that mobility not only look at the policy just from what's provided there, but also look into how this is going to impact a potential employee's view of the company. And of course, that then can run downstream into retention issues as well.
Nita, let me pivot back to you for my next question here. What should the head of mobility services or the chief people officer, for example, be thinking about? What are the questions they should be asking and what should be top of mind? Also, what are some of the challenges that they're facing and how might they overcome them?
So I think it's very important to understand mobility's role in the context of the HR and people function. And then also understanding how it ties to the overall organizational ESG strategy. The questions I think that are very relevant that need to be asked are, where do we want to go? What goals are we actually trying to achieve? It is the impact to the communities in which we operate, only being involved in a P&L business unit. Organizations, and especially the mobility program, should understand that it's a year-on-year improvement and process mapping and overall review of policies, as Robert mentioned, to make sure that they are current with the market, they are current with their ESG strategy, and they're meeting the needs of their employees. And lastly, how do my vendor partners fit into the strategy? Are they on a similar trajectory? Are my vendors providing ESG-related services, or do they support our vision in any way, shape, or form? I think the challenges lie in mining data. Organizations are sitting on a mountain of data, and it is actually taking that data and putting it through the data analytic tool to understand the history and where you want to go in the future.
Wow, Nita, that's a lot of factors to keep track of. And I think the GMS policies also provide a way to maybe even customize each of these assignments. And we have not even started to look at that, right? It's part of the data mining that you mentioned, which is what is important for a particular individual could be very different from what would be important for somebody else, depending on their background and their individual situation. Are you seeing these kinds of discussions being incorporated into the negotiations when working with the assignees?
Absolutely. Mobility is evolving today. And over the course of the past couple of years, I have seen a number of clients move to what is called a flex choice policy that allows for there to be a specific set of benefits that are applicable organizationally, but then also the ability within certain guardrails to customize the additional benefits for the employee-specific circumstance.
Before we round out the discussion today, I'm going to ask each of you to give me a couple of examples or thoughts that you have on what's holding companies back from implementing these initiatives. Robert, I'll start with you.
Sure. I think one of the biggest things is that data is holding companies back. And this really emerges in several different areas, starting with a lack of visibility into data, understanding who owns that data, even the age of the data. The second thing is really using the data, but asking the wrong questions. And then the last one is not being heard. Let me just quickly kind of put this in context. We are seeing several of our clients really concentrate on gender lens reporting. And that is understanding the issues that different genders are having when undertaking an assignment. As companies are going through this type of process, what they're looking at is information related to the age of individuals who are undertaking assignments, the gender of individuals undertaking those assignments, the size of families. And what they continue to find is that there are points in time where they see less women specifically undertaking assignments. And so that starts to beg questions such as, is this related to family planning? Is this related to childcare issues? And it's then allowed them to push forward with changes to their policy that create more equity. It's really brought to light this disparity between how different genders undertake and accept assignments.
Thanks, Robert. Nita, what are your thoughts?
So I'm going to piggyback a little bit off what Robert says. I think what is very daunting is that there is no game plan for this. There is no playbook that has already been written. Today, you have to determine exactly what is right for your organization. And that's what I mean by there's no game plan for this, because while a specific set of benefits may be applicable for one organization, may not be the ones that are right for your organization. There's also the time and cost that is associated with implementing new strategies. Where does mobility line up with the organization's overall business strategy?
So it looks like a lot of thought needs to go into developing your global mobility policies, and it's quite a powerful tool. Nita, Robert, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining me on this episode. I invite you to continue this journey with us as we further explore the intersection of tax and ESG and the many business elements it impacts. I'm Anu Varadarajan, and this has been Harnessing the Power of ESG.